Blog Talk Radio.
Somebody's always talking about me, Lord.
That's all right.
All right.
That's all right.
Somebody's always talking about me. It's all right.
Welcome to the First Baptists of Holly Springs Bible Study Power Hour. I am the pastor, Reverend Michael Rogers. I am so glad you have joined us today. This is the First Baptist of Holly Springs Bible Study for May the 19th, year of our Lord, 2020. Of course, you know that First Baptist is located at 208 Grigsley Avenue in the city of Holly Springs, North Carolina. Our normal operating schedule would be 9:30 in the morning for Sunday school, 10:45 for praise and worship, and of course our morning service would start at 11 o'clock. Because of the pandemic, we have been doing things virtually over the internet. Therefore, our Bible study is at 12 noon on Tuesday, and of course you can also see our Sunday service on our Facebook page. We invite you to go to the First Baptist of Holly Springs Facebook page. There you'll find all the information concerning First Baptist, all of the sermons that we have preached while we have been going live. You'll also find the link for the Bible study each week on the Facebook page. Go there, and when you go there, make sure you hit the like button. Make sure you click the like button. We want to bring the likes up for the page. That way the page is recognized by Facebook company, and they will promote the page for us if we get a lot of likes. So we're asking you to not only just go to the page and listen, but go there and hit the like button so that Facebook will know that someone is looking or listening to the Facebook page. We thank God for those who were with us on last Sunday. We celebrated the pastor's 6th anniversary. I want to take this time to thank God for First Baptist and all of you who sent kind letters and expressions of love for the 6 years that we have been laboring in the house of God at First Baptist. We thank God for First Baptist. We thank God for the people of First Baptist. This has been a year like no other, yet we are persevering. We are continuing to do the work of the Lord. You should be proud of yourself because we did not, even though the building is closed, the church is still open. And so we are moving forward, even in these trying times, to make sure that First Baptist is well represented on the internet and represented for the public to see, for our members and for our disciples to be able to communicate and know what is going on at First Baptist Church. I thank Sister Ashley Ratliff and Sister Tanya Johnson, who were there with us on last Sunday. It's always good to have music in the house of God. Of course, you know that we are African descent. We like music. We like rhythm. It is part of the religious experience to have music in the church. So it's always good, always great to have music in the house of God. So we thank them for being able to be with us on last Sunday so that we could be well represented in our service. We want to remind you that the General Baptist State Convention virtual mid-year session starts today. There are many workshops and services. We started at 10 o'clock today. There'll be services at 1 o'clock. There'll be services at 6 and at 8 p.m. Workshops also. You can go to the General Baptist State Convention webpage and get all the pertinent information. Of course, you can register as an individual, and you can see all of the happenings at the virtual convention. I know a lot of folk do not have internet, and I have people in my family who don't have internet, but I'm telling you that one of the things that's going to be needed in the future is an internet connection. I know a lot of folk don't like the internet because it brings a lot of negative things as well, but particularly in these days, the internet is a useful tool to have because so many things are going on right now virtually over the internet, and the only way that you will get that information is through the internet. So perhaps you might want to reconsider, those of you who do not have internet, and perhaps you might want to invest in some basic internet so that you will be able to reach the outside world, particularly while this pandemic is going on. Hopefully it will not last long, but we don't know. We have to wait on God for that. So we ask that you will go to the General Baptist State Convention Facebook page. If you'd like to register as an individual, you can do so, and you can see all of the happenings that are going on. There are going to be some Zoom. If those of you who use the Zoom software, there will be some Zoom workshops going on, and you can see those workshops through Zoom. You can also see it through the Facebook page, the General Baptist State Convention Facebook page, and their website. You can go to either one of them and get the information and the phone numbers and the contact numbers that you have in order to participate in the mid-year session for the General Baptist State Convention. Another thing in the mailbox, and I'm going to start our study. Someone asked a question as to how they can listen to the Bible study over the internet. A lot of people listen to the Bible study over the internet. If you will go to the First Baptist Holly Springs Facebook page, find the event that says Bible study. Click on that. It will open up to a larger event. And there you will find the Bible study. You'll find the scriptures that I'm using for the Bible study. And just above that, you will see a web link and a phone number. For those of you who want to listen through the internet, click on that web link, and it will take you directly to the program. Those of you who would like to listen by phone, you can use that phone number as well, and you can be connected to us today. Of course, that number is area code 845-241-9839. Area code 845-241-9839. Let us pray. Our Father and our God, we thank you for this day. We thank you for another time to come before your people with Bible study. We pray, God, that something be said today and something be heard here today will be seeds sown in good soil. And long after this Bible study is over, it will bear forth fruit. And your people will continue to give you the praise, give you all the honor. This we ask in Jesus' name, amen and amen. Our subject this morning is hear and do the word. Hear and do the word. Comes from the book of James, the first chapter. I'll give you a second to get that. James, the first chapter, starting in verse 19 and going to verse 27. James, the first chapter, starting in verse 19, going to verse 27. The subject is hear and do the word. Hear and do the word. Hear and do the word. James, the half-brother of Jesus, among the early leaders of the church, was based in Jerusalem. And although the Epistle of James is placed toward the end of the New Testament, it is actually the first letter of instruction written to the church. Thus, this letter is one of the first letters that the church received as far as instructions were concerned. So we should look at the book of James and find out what the book of James is telling us. For we know that James, the half-brother of Jesus, was with him the whole time doing his ministry. And James instructs believers to be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. This letter was written early in the church's life. The believers were facing persecution for their faith in Jesus Christ. As James offered up his instructions, he most likely used a basis from his own upbringing and a combination of the wisdom scriptures that are found in Proverbs, such as Proverbs 10 and 19, or Proverbs 4 and 17, or Ecclesiastes 5 and 2. Wisdom literature was captured by scribes and passed down orally as Jews met in the synagogue and walked and talked in their homes. James took the practicality of the Proverbs he learned and related them to his audience, who also would have heard such lessons as they grew up. The purpose of reviving such language and instruction in the culture of his day was to usher in a new era for the people of Jerusalem, a new reign for the kingdom of God, with wisdom of the old. He took the time to remind them, in the midst of persecution and rejection, to be patient. Seek God for your wisdom. Trust God in the midst of your trial and act honorably to represent God in your faith. Also, because his audience was scattered across the Asia Minor area, he knew that they were probably influenced by various other cultures. And James suspected that these believers might be influenced away from the Jewish roots. He wanted to remind them of those teachings that would influence their behavior as well as incorporate Jesus Christ teaching in them in their life. Jesus himself said that offense will come. He said that in Matthew 18 and 7. But it takes the wisdom of God to remain spirit-led in the midst of adversity and trial. When we apply these principles that James outlined in our behavior, being quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath, remembering that anger does not produce what God desires, then we can make good decisions, keep our relationships intact, and we can glorify God all at the same time. And this is why James took the time to write that very popular saying in the Bible there in verse 22. He said, "But be ye doers of the word and not hearers only." That is a very, very powerful statement, because there are many people who will hear the word of God, but they won't apply the word of God to their lives. And the second part of that says, because if you don't do that, you're deceiving your own self. You're not deceiving the pastor. You're not deceiving your pew member. You're not deceiving those who know you. You're actually deceiving more so yourself than anyone else. And who walks around deceiving themselves? People who deceive themselves are living in a delusion. They're not living in a real world. They're living in what they perceive only as the world and not seeing the world in its reality. That's why 23 says, "For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was." James here gives us some practical instructions and implications to make sure that they are doers of the word. To demonstrate how this is done, he used an analogy of a man looking at himself in a mirror. Now, beloved, you got to remember that in biblical days, they didn't have glass as we know it. When people looked at themselves in the mirror, it was brass, polished brass they looked at, and the reflection would come off of polished brass. Oftentimes, that reflection was distorted. And if you think that's how you really look, and you walk away from that, you think one thing when the world sees another thing. Many times we look in the mirror and we look at ourselves on the outside and we think, oh, I'm all together. My hair looks good. My feet look good. My dress looks good. My suit looks good. I'm good to go. But what you have not done is considered what you look like on the inside. The mirror does not show you that. And you walk out the door thinking that you're all together and the public sees something completely different. That's why he says you're deceiving yourself. You're beholding yourself in a glass, thinking that you're all together, and you go your way, and you forget who you really are. You think you're somebody else. You know, in this day and age, people can disguise themselves in many ways. You can put on more hair. You can put on more makeup. You can put on all kind of body parts. And you can change the color of your eyes. You can buy new teeth. You can do all kind of things to make yourself look good. But the reality is you're the same person without all of that. You're the same person. You may think you're different because you look different, but you are actually the same person. So James wants us to understand that. He says in verse 25, but whosoever looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he bringeth not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work. This man shall be blessed in his deeds. James contrasts the natural man with the spiritual man. The word of God, which produces the spiritual man, perfects the law and sets man free from his sinful nature or his unnatural self. But in order for the word of God to have its desired effect, believers need to continue. That means do not just do it on Sunday, but on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. You need to continue. Continuing in the Greek term means to continue, always near, constantly in the word of God. The act of gazing intently into the word of God enables believers to retain the image of what the Holy Spirit is producing within them. So we got to stay close to the word. We got to compare who we are to the word. Oh, that's a deep one there. You got to compare who you are as a child of God to the word of God. Just because you know the word does not mean that you are doing the word. So when you look at yourself and you look at the word of God, it should be a mirror to you, and you should see yourself as who you are, for certainly God does. You may fool others, but you certainly cannot fool God. In the commentary of the Bible that was written in 1486, there was a commentary that was written that draws the contrast between the individual who views his image in a glass and then forgets what he looks like, and the individual who lingers and gazes at the reflection of the glass and then with deep contrition and deep thought see beyond what they see. James was making the same type of analogy that Jesus made in his story of the two men who built their houses, one who built their house on sand and the other who built their house on rock. It's the same concept. Some people have built their personality, their spiritual personality, on sand. And some people have built their spiritual personality on rock. Those who have built their spiritualness on sand will surely be washed away. Things will happen that will cause you to lose your spirit, cause you to lose who you are. But those of you who have built your spirituality on a rock, that rock will withstand. That story is told in Matthew 7, 24 through 27. The blessings for the believer is found upon the actions that flow from the changed life that is the product of the Holy Spirit's work. This blessing manifests itself in the deeds of the believer, that they are the result of having built inwardly upon the solid ground of the Word of God. In other words, it's your deeds that tell the story. not so much your words, but your deeds that tell the story. We know for a fact that the devil knows the word, but that doesn't mean he does the deeds. So it's your deeds that tell the story. I heard someone say, I can't remember who it was, it says that when people show you who they are, believe it, because that's who they really are. A lot of times we wear masks. I'm not talking about a pandemic mask. I'm talking about a church mask, a spiritual mask. And we think that people see that mask. But when you open your mouth, when you do your deeds, you find that something completely different. So here in verse 36, it says, if any man among you seem to be right religious and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is in vain. Wow. Nobody wants their religion to be in vain. For James, true religion is evident by the fruit that religion produces in an individual life. We talked last week about the fruit of the Spirit. James says true religion is evident by the fruit that religion produces in your life. It's not about how you can jump and shout. It's not about how well you can preach or how well you can sing or how well you can usher. It's about the fruit that it produces in you. A true believer, one who has permitted the word of God to take root within them, will not be like the zealot who made uncontrolled and impassionate speeches against those who were a part of the ecclesia or part of the church. In other words, those who have true worshipers of God and the studies of his word are not like those who are not. Therefore, you should be different from those who are not in the word of God. And you should be able to bridle your tongue and control your passions and control your speech against others who are in the house of God. I want to stop right there because I have seen something in the last few years that has really disturbed me. There are too many Christians with brittle spirit. I've never seen so many weak Christians in all of my life. Just brittle. Anything breaks you. Anything just pops your cord. Just like a piece of peanut brittle. The first thing that happens, you're broken. The first thing that happens, you quit. The first thing that happens, I can't take it no more. Just brittle. I'm telling you, you got to toughen up. Christianity is not for the faint of heart. It never has been. Look what happened to Jesus. Christianity has never been a soft and gentle religion. It has always been a religion for those who had backbone, for those who have stamina. If you are brittle like that, perhaps Christianity is not your forte. But Christianity takes steadfastness. It takes an ability to control yourself and control what comes out of yourself and control what goes into yourself, because you are not just representing you. You are representing God. And we do not serve a brittle God. We do not serve a God whose feelings get hurt, whose feelings he wears on his sleeve. We serve a God who's able to bless us even when we don't even bless him. A God who's able to look beyond our faults and still give us our needs. We serve a God who's able to bless us even if we forget him, go off and live among the heathens. He still loves us because we serve a God that is strong. And so it is that James wants us to understand. Not only is it not God-like to not bridle your tongue, it's also ungodlike to let it hurt you. Think about that. Think about what they said about Jesus, what he went through. Did it let it hurt him? Did he still not complete his mission? Did he still not do what God sent him to do? Stop using folk as your excuse not to do God's work. Stop letting folk be your excuse for not getting close to God. We can always find excuses for not doing something. I stumped my toe this morning. I ain't going. Sister so-and-so said something to me last Sunday. I ain't going. We could always find excuses for that. But God is not looking for excuse makers. He's looking for people who can persevere, people who can go through. Because when you get to the pearly gates, you got a story to tell. You can't say, well, God, I gave up. God, I just couldn't take it no more. No, no, that ain't what he want to hear. He wants to hear, God, I worked hard as I could. God, I did my best. God, I went through trial. I went through tribulation. That's when you hear him say, well done, thy good and faithful servant. James wants us to understand that today, that we as a people of God have to learn how to control who we are and not just be hearers of his word, but doers of his word. Our religious activities must be a reflection of his word. This would include being careful of one's actions and one's speech when involved in religious activities. However, if one does not control their tongue when not engaged in religious activities, then it's the same thing. In other words, you can't just be Christian on Sunday. You just can't be holy on Sunday. You just can't, oh, praise the Lord, thank you, Jesus. Blessed and saved anyway. You just can't be like that on Sunday. And then come Monday, you're somebody else. You're deceiving yourself. You're deceiving yourself. What James wants us to know, that this type of characteristic goes on. It is a part of your spiritual life. From the time you commit yourself to Christ until the time you leave here, that is your mandate. To not just be a hearer of the word, but be a doer of the word. The sinner's spirituality is the center of our lives. And because spirituality is the center of our lives, we cannot let others and we cannot let things stop us from being who we are. If it was so, then this pandemic would have stopped everything. This pandemic, we wouldn't even be on the air right now if we were going to just give up. The pandemic is just too rough. It's just too tough. I can't do it no more. I can't go on the air no more. I can't teach Bible study. Nobody wants to hear that. One of the things that we have to learn is that our people have always been overcomers. There's never been a time in the history of African-American people that we did not overcome. So don't let the ancestors down. Don't be a quitter. Be an overcomer so that you can go forth in this world. Verse 27, pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this: to visit the fatherless, the widows in their affliction, and to keep oneself unspotted from the world. Let me talk about that for 1 second. I want to break that down in about 3 pieces here. Pure religion, undefiled before God and the Father is this: to visit the fatherless and the widows in their affliction. I know that we're in a pandemic right now, and that we are not able to visit and take care of those who are unfortunate as we could or as we should. But we should still make every effort to stay in touch with them and to make sure that people are doing well, not just the people in your immediate household or the people in your family, but there are other people who are in the church family. You want to make sure that we take care of the orphan and the widow. This is one of the commands of Jesus before he left. He said, take care of the orphans and the widows. Bring someone to Jesus. Feed the hungry. Clothe the naked. This was a mandate for him. And this is why you see churches with the food cupboard and with the food storage. And some churches are giving out clothes. We're doing all that we can. This is part of the work of the house of God. And the people who continue to do that work, even during a pandemic, are to be commended, because they're doing what God has asked them to do, to take care of the fatherless and the widows, to feed the hungry and to clothe the naked, to have empathy for those who are going through, to know that it, by the grace of God, it could have been you, and to have the empathy for those who are going through in their affliction. And then it says to keep yourself unspotted from the world. Now, that's a 24-hour job, beloved, because we are in the world, but we don't have to be of the world. Because we are in this world, we have to conform to the various mores of the world. And there are certain things that this world does that we just have to conform to. But that doesn't mean that you have to be in it. you don't have to be a part of it. We live in a world that has no limits. And certainly as a child of God, we cannot have no limits. There just should be some things we just don't do. We should be able to draw a line and say, I'll go this far and I won't go no further. That's what a child of God does. No matter what others may do, we have to keep ourselves unspotted and undefiled from the world. There was a passage of scripture that James deals with also that he says something that's very important that relates to that. James talks about those who have not only been defiled or defiled themselves with this world. He talks about those who have been ruthless, those who have been selfless, those who have been selfish, because that's what the world teaches. The world teaches you to look out for self. The world teaches you to look out for just you and yours. And it's so easy to fall into that trap. There in the 21st verse, therefore lay apart all filthiness and superfluousness and naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your life. These words, filthiness, I know we use it for someone who's not clean on the outside. And sure enough, if you're not clean on the outside, you can call you filthy. But it also means those who are not clean on the inside. Again, you can look in the mirror and you can think you look good. You can put on a brand new suit, brand new shirt and tie, look at yourself and look good. But if you haven't taken a bath, guess what? I'm not going there. But he wants you to understand that there is something that we must look at. Superfluousness. That means having your own concept of who you are. Me first. It's only about me. Me. What about me? What about me? Me, me, me. And a lot of Christian folk are really into that me thing. You want God to come and see just about you, nobody else. And then he uses the word naughtiness. That's a word from our youth. We call people naughty when they do things wrong or behind people's back, or things that are done in the dark. Things that you don't want people to see you do. A lot of us do things we don't want nobody to see us do. And what James was saying, if we're doing these types of things, we're deceiving ourselves, and we're not doing the word, we're just simply hearing the word. James reminds us that anger does not produce the righteousness of God. God did not find us just around with one another. God instructed us to work with one another, even went so far as to say, love your enemy. Amen. Therefore, he gave us to have respect for one another, and because that produces righteousness in our spirit. Be not hasty in thy spirit to be angry, for angry resteth in the bosom of fools. That's a powerful statement. Anger, 9 times out of 10, when you get so angry, you lose your sense of reality, your sense of rightness, and you become a F-O-L-L, fool, meaning that you're doing things that you don't know you're doing, or saying things that you don't mean to say. You're basically acting out, you know, like the little child at Walmart, just having a temper tantrum. You just, you know, and what James is saying is that is not of God. That is not of God. As I said before, not only do we have to bridle our tongues and watch how we handle and talk to one another, but we also can't be so brittle that the first thing that we hear breaks our spirit. None of that is of God. God has never asked us to do any of that. So we have to understand what James is teaching us in the church today, because the church never before needs people to come together. Never before in the history of the Church of God do we need folk to stop backbiting, stop arguing, stop trivializing everything that happens. Let me tell you something. As a pastor, I've been a pastor for almost 20 years, and I have in my lifetime have spoken to many, many pastors. If there are 100 folk in First Baptist, 99 of them want to tell me how to do my job. And that's just the way it is. It's nothing new. It's nothing that I take personal. That's the way the African-American church is. It has always been that way. There have always been people who cross lines. We had to say, stay in your lane. That's impossible in the black church. Folk will not stay in their lane. It ain't going to happen. And so if you are a leader in the house of God, expect that. That's part of it. You know, that comes with the territory. And you can't be so brittle that it bothers you. You got to be like the duck. Let it roll off your back. Let the water roll off your back. Keep moving because you know your work is not in vain. As long as you're doing what God has instructed you to do, as long as you're doing what God has given you the right to do in the house of God, whether you're usher, whether you're a choir member, whether you're a trustee or a deacon or a preacher, as long as you're doing what God has instructed in his word and you're keeping his word in your heart and you're acting out yourself in his word, then you are pleasing God in all that you're doing and all that you're saying. So we have to look at ourselves. We have to glance at ourselves from time to time. Many people are using this time of pandemic and staying at home to be spiritual. I know I have. I have used this time each day to reflect in myself. Since there's nowhere to go and no one to be around, this is a good time to work on you. This is a good time to fix you. Go deep into you. Find out what's bothering you, what's really pushing your button. Find a way to deal with that, because we have gone through worse things than this. You have gone through worse things than this. And beloved, if you haven't, just keep on living. I guarantee you there will be times in your life that you will find yourself clinging to the word of God, trying to find out what should I do next in order to please the Lord. God wants us to be not just hearers of the word, but he wants us to be doers of the word. I'm going to open the lines in just a few minutes because I have a few questions that I would like to ask some of you who are listening. Those of you who are familiar with First Baptist Bible Study, sometimes we do topical discussions. We've got about 20 minutes coming up, and I want to do just a few minutes of talking to you about the house of God and how we can best do what James has asked us to do. James was one of the first people, even though his book is later on in the New Testament. He was one of the first of the disciples to write instructions, even before Paul, to write instructions to the church. So these words that James wrote are very, very early, and they're very important. For he himself traveled with Jesus, knew Jesus, talked to him, grew up with him. And because of that, he had an insight as to his ministry and what his ministry meant to him and what he wanted his ministry to mean to those who would follow him. So James's book is very important. I know it talks a lot about you. It talks a lot about working on you. And a lot of times we skip over the book of James because the book of James is not talking about your neighbor, not talking about other folk that you can point fingers at. James points the finger at you. And that's the time, that's the reason why a lot of us don't like to even get into the book of James, because James talks about the Christian and what the Christian should be and who the Christian should be. So I'm going to open up the lines in just a minute here. I'm going to see who's listening and see if you have any comments as to the lesson. Hear and do the word. So James, first chapter, 19 verse through the 27th verse. Let's go to area code 910, last four digits 1602. Are you on the line?
Yes, Pastor Rogers, how are you today?
I'm doing great. How are you?
Good. I'm, again, Darlene Devane, pastor, Pat Best's sister, and I really enjoyed the word today. It was food for my soul. Today, what really touched my heart today when you said compare yourself with the word of God.
Yeah.
Once you do that, look at yourself and compare yourself with the Word of God, that actually cleans you up from the inside, so you won't have to worry about what you look on the outside, how you look on
That's
the
right.
outside.
Mm-hmm.
And you won't
That's
be
right.
deceiving yourself. And also, you know what I'm saying, that the you as the natural person should compare yourself with the spiritual person. I like that as well, too. So it's all about being Christ-like. And I thank God I've learned a lot. And, you know, I thank God I can say I haven't arrived yet, but I thank God that I am doing some of the things that James is talking about in this lesson. And I
yeah.
thank God for that. Because it strengthens me. The Word strengthens me. And like you said, that's what we should be doing, you know, at home now, working on ourselves. What is bothering us? How can we fix ours through the Word of God? I must say, I enjoyed it again, another great lesson, and I will continue listening. I thank God for the Word.
Well, thank you so very much for listening. We praise God for that. We hope you'll have a great week as well. Let's go to area code 919. Last four digits, 6615. Are you on the line?
For just $19.99.
Yes.
Go right ahead.
Well, I really enjoyed the party with Miss Paula.
Okay, how are you?
I'm good.
Mhm.
Yeah, I enjoyed what you were talking about you know, kind of like taking this time to examine ourselves, to kind of like find out who we are, what we're supposed to be doing at this time, you know, just getting deeper in the Word, because now we have time. Before, we didn't have time to do this and that. And, you know, it was always something else that we had to do, whether it be work or school or church or other things that we were running around doing.
Amen.
And I was listening. I was kind of listening and kind of taking notes on some of the things that you were saying about James, and just how not to be. One of my problems is sometimes I can kind of let what things that people say or things that hurt me, you know, get offended, you know, and that's
right.
One thing that I've been working on within myself is not letting other issues be my issue.
That's right. We're only human.
In the home
and in
bed.
we're only human, and sometimes things do hurt, but what God wants us to understand is that we have to go beyond it. I understand that. We all go through that. And things do hurt. We're just humans, and we just have those types of things with us. But as children of God, we have to move ourselves beyond that. And I thank God for you, and I thank God for you understanding that.
Yeah.
I've
really
code,
enjoyed it so far.
Thank you. Area code 910, last four digits, 7585. 7585. Maybe you don't want to say anything. I understand. Anyone else? 919. Last four digits, 2314.
At Real Righteous, Ms. Mangum.
Good morning, Ms. Mangum.
Hope everyone's doing good. I enjoyed
mm-hmm.
that Bible study code. That's one of my sayings. That we always should be not only hearers of the Word, but doers of the Word.
Amen. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
How do you think? Go right ahead. Go right ahead.
Go ahead. You go ahead. You can ask for it.
Well, I was going to ask you a question. How do you think James would look at the church today if he were to come back? How do you think James would view the church?
Well, there's different things in different churches. I just think that he may view some of the churches not doing things godly, that they are hearing the Word, but they're not doing what the word states to do.
Right.
And like you said, we can, you know, we can't fool God, but, you know, we can fool other people, but only God, you know, sees and knows all.
Right. We can't fool him, can we?
That's right. And like
Amen.
You said, that true religion, we talked about that fruit of the Spirit last week in the Bible,
uh-huh.
in the Bible study. So, you know, you judge people by the fruit that they produce.
That's right. That's right. Yeah. Thank you so much, Ms. Madam. Thank you. Area code 910, last four digits 5088. Are you on the line? 5088.
Hello, Pastor Rogers.
Hello. Hey, how you doing?
Can you, all right. Good. You can hear me. How's everything going? Hello, everybody.
Hi.
I really enjoyed. I enjoyed that lesson, Pastor.
Thank you. Thank you.
Yes. And one verse. Well, a lot of them. I got something out of every verse, but that first verse. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man the command. Mm-hmm. Let every man.
Uh-huh.
Be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. And what
That's
I
right.
got from that was be swift to hear, you know, hear people out and listen, because that's one of the characters, the characteristics of God. He always listens to us.
That's right.
And then being slow to speak. Sometimes you run into people that whatever comes up, you know, whatever comes to their mind, they just let it roll, you know.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm,
and that's
mm-hmm.
one thing about being slow to speak, and then being slow to wrath, avoid eruptions, you know, avoid just lashing out at folks, and responding with anger.
Mm-hmm.
That was something I got out of that first verse.
I'm going to ask you the same question I ask Ms. Mangum. How do you think James
okay.
would see the church today?
I think he wouldn't see none of these right here. Not a lot of it, anyway. Because some people don't, being swift to hear, a lot of people don't want to hear people out. They just want their point to go across. And if their point don't go across, they really don't want to listen to too much you got to say.
Mhm. Mhm. Uh huh. I would think that James probably wouldn't recognize the church. That's what I think. I think that he
mm-hmm.
would probably not even know he was in a church. He would probably not even recognize, other than the things that he saw. You know, like the cross and the pictures and things like that. But James,
mm-hmm.
you got to remember,
mm-hmm.
churches weren't like that back in those days anyway. So he probably wouldn't even recognize the church. He would probably think the church is more of a social situation more so than a religious organization, by the way we handle
mm-hmm.
our business and by the way we do various things in the church. We have gotten so far away from the basics of religion, the basics of Christianity, that he probably would not recognize what it was. We would probably have to explain to him why things were like they are in the church, because
mm-hmm.
he probably would not be able to comprehend that. Is there anyone
okay.
else on the line who would like to add something to the lesson? Go right ahead. We got about 11 minutes, 10 more minutes.
Hello, Reverend Roger. How are you? This is Sister
Doing
Beth.
Doing fine. Who is this? Sister Beth. How are you?
Sister Beth. Good.
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 How are you?
Happy anniversary. Happy
Thank
anniversary.
Thank you so much. Thank you. Thank
good,
you.
Good, good, good. I really enjoyed the Bible study today. It was sort of, you know, like I say, a lot of things that I've been experiencing, I'm like, wow, you're just touching, you know, just touching on a lot of things that's going
mm-hmm.
on and right now. And so I know one of the things that you mentioned, how we can dress up and look really good on the outside and stuff
mm-hmm.
and look in the mirror and see how well we really look and we're looking all good and stuff. And then we can turn back around and go out, you know, when we go out ministry or what we should be doing, going out about people, praying God's word. We got to have a, like I say, you hit it right on the dot when you say people, the first thing come out of your mouth is who you really are. And a lot of times we don't realize that. We could be dressed up, like almost dressed up in sheep clothing, but we are really wool, And so I just find a lot of things that comes out of our mouth and stuff. So you really, I mean, that really hit home with that and stuff, because I experienced that with a lot of people. They don't realize, I mean, they could be preaching the word, and but whatever come out of their mouth is really what's in the heart and stuff. And so sad to say there's some things come out of Christian mouth that should not be coming out of Christian's mouth.
That's right. So
I thank you.
Sister Bess, let me ask you a question. What do you think it's going to take to get the church, and we're only concerned about church folk now. I know there are other folk outside of that, and we pray for them as well, but what do you think is going to take to get church folk to come in line with the Word of God? What do you think it's going to take? A pandemic like this or something? What do you think?
To be honest, Reverend Roger, I mean, I just know it's in God's control. And like I said, I really don't know why to take it, because a lot of things that's been happening in this world, people are still doing the same thing. So I don't know what it's going to take God to have to bring the church back together. That's the sad thing to say. It's almost like, you know, we are Christians and we should be modeling other people who don't know him. But I don't know what it's going to take, Reverend Roger, but it's a sad day and time. I think we all for a rude awakening, because I know God is to the point now. He's been trying to give us chance after chance to get it right, but we still continue to even go on the same path that's told against his will. So I just don't know, Reverend Rogers and stuff. Mm-hmm. I think about that a lot of day, because it really hurts me to see when you see Christians are still doing the same thing that did before, even after this pandemic. People still don't really see the love that we have for one another. I mean, if anything, if we love to learn how to love one another, I think we can get on that path. But we can't love one another. We have a hard time, which is
and
the greatest thing.
Not,
that's all God
that's
asks
not,
us to do, to love one another.
Mm-hmm. And that's not by accident. That's not by accident. That's by design. We're not loving one another is not completely our fault. Something else works in that. Mm-hmm. The enemy works in that as well. We do some bad things now, but a lot of that is carried through the enemy as well. So that's not by accident that we can't come together. That's by design. Somebody's working against us coming together. That's what I'm saying. Something is working against us, and we don't even realize it. And that's why we fall victim. Because we don't realize what we could do if we did things together, more so than what we realize about how we can separate from one another. So we don't see the good. We don't see the bigger picture for looking at the smaller thing, you know. And I think that's what causes us not to get together as well, come together as well. Very good observations. I thank God for you. I thank God for all of you who are participating in. Listen, there is an article that came out about a week ago, maybe 2 weeks ago, in Christianity Today that says only 15% of Christian people read the Bible outside of daily church service. In other words, as long as we're in church, you're reading your Bible. Sunday school, reading your Bible. Bible study, reading the Bible. But when we're not doing that, we don't spend no time in the Word of God. Now, that is striking. Because it simply means that our spiritual needs are not being fulfilled. And we are neglecting ourselves with the Word of God. And the more we get into His Word, the more it enables us to be what the Word wants us to be. But if you are a stranger to the Word, then you're going to be a stranger to the way James is talking about here. You're going to be a stranger to that type of behavior. Because you are a stranger to the Word of God. So that's one thing we can do. We can employ people to get more into His Word. And perhaps if they do that, spend more time doing that, then they could have a better understanding of how we should come together. Anyone else like to say anything, add anything to the lesson?
Reverend Rogers, Mr. Mangum again. I had said that if this pandemic didn't change people, I don't think they will ever change. With all these people dying and getting this virus, if it's not a wake-up call, I don't know what it is with these people to not accept
You would think that this would do it, but we got to wait and see.
Oh, yeah.
We have to wait and see. Some people are not even waiting until the pandemic is over to go back out. You know,
oh,
there are
no,
people
no,
who are out the street right now.
Out.
Just, you know they're not even
out.
Waiting.
That's true.
They're not even waiting for God to say it's all right to go out. They're just going on out. They just, you know. So hopefully it does, Miss Magnum. I pray that it does as well. Maybe something worse has to happen. I don't want to speak on that, but maybe something else got to happen in order to break people down, you know. But whatever it takes, God's will be done. You can believe that. Whether
right.
we're ready for it or
Amen.
Not. That's right. God's
Amen.
will be done. Well, thank you all so much for being with us this morning or this afternoon for the Bible study. Spread the word. Let everybody know that we're on every Tuesday, 12 noon, Bible study, First Baptist of Holly Spring, Bible study power hour. And we're here to discuss the word of God. Don't forget that the General Baptist State Mid-Year Convention is going on right now. If you would like to participate, you can go to the Facebook page and you can register as an individual. And you can be a part of the festivities that are going on over there with the General Baptist State Convention. There are a lot of workshops, a lot of services are going on. So you want to be a part of that, you can tune in to the Facebook page or either the General Baptist State Convention website, and you can find that information. Let us pray. Our Father and our God, we thank you for this day. We thank you, God, for those who are listening on this broadcast. We thank you for those who participated in your word. We pray now, God, as we go on into our lives today, that you will give us strength, give us encouragement to keep on keeping on. We pray for those who are on the sick list, those who are in the rest home, those who find themselves locked behind prison bars, those who may find themselves in whatever condition that this time has caused them to be in. Father, we ask that you will touch them in a mighty way. Put your strong arm of protection around them. Wrap yourself around them, God. No hurt, harm, or danger will come to them. Then, God, bless the house of worship as we continue to give your word. Continue to go forth and be a beacon on the hill that will shine the light so that all men can see the glory of God and come running crying to be saved. Father, we love you today. We give you all the glory. We give you all the honor. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you all today.
Amen.
Have a great day.
Amen.
And tell somebody.
You too.
Amen. Amen. God
Amen.
Bless
you
all.
Too.
Have a great day.
Too. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Somebody.